across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, with the state of Queensland knee-deep in horny mice, we get out the cheese and the elephant guns and go into battle. Also today, we profile that Australian swimming coach who went 8-2 on that flight to LA. And we'll take you behind the doors of the Martin Malloy Genuine Kentucky Bourbon Distilleries. We've got another furious bout of radio gladiators. And in for today's no-holds-barred chinwag, it's the ever-glamorous Judith Lucy. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that regularly drives Judge Lance Ito to tears, Martin Malloy. S.A. Welcome to another round of Martin Malloy Australia with my good self, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, the man who flew to Tokyo, got Japanese Prime Minister Tomichi Murayama by the underpants and kept hoisting till he agreed to say sorry, Mick Malloy.
It's a new kind of foreign policy tone that I want everyone to employ. It gets results, damn it.
I'm enjoying it, but listen, we've got a problem right here in Australia and in Queensland in particular, and I'm talking mice. It's just Mouse City in Queensland, and they're pretty much increasing by the minute.
Absolutely.
Do you think they've thought of pest control?
They've had a meeting somewhere. Someone's throwing that phrase into the conversation.
Do you think anybody's thought to pick up the yellow pages? Just chuck us over the phone, Mick. I think there's something we can do.
Well, I think we're obliged to help our northern neighbours, Tony.
Indeed.
The least we can do. With some good sound thinking.
They're trying, of course. They are trying. They're dropping poison wheat, apparently, out of planes. That's a good idea. It's not going to work.
Not up to it?
No, I reckon more practical suggestions is what we need. Here we go.
Good afternoon, pest control.
Hello, this is Tony Martin and Mick Malloy calling from the Martin Malloy radio program.
Yes.
Are you the people to talk to about mice?
Yes.
What kind of area can you clear of mice?
Well, is it a house or a factory or...?
It's the state of Queensland. We've got 12 million hectares completely riddled with mice. It's driving the locals crazy. They can't get to sleep tonight because of all the squeaking. Are you the people for the job?
I don't think we'll go quite as far as Queensland.
Tell us, how do you actually go about trapping, snaring, stalking your mouse? What do you do?
Right, well, we use baits that they eat and then it will kill them.
What about your cheese? You know, this is all about cheese, isn't it?
No, that's a fallacy.
Oh, so your mouse doesn't really go for a bit of cheese. That's a media myth. Is that really what you think has driven the mice up in Queensland crazy? That this rumour's been perpetrated that they're cheese crazed? Do you think that's what's got their goat?
It could have done.
There seems to be an awful lot of them. Is the mouse, constantly on the job all day? Does your mouse come home and just, you know, put the Barry White on and get down to it with the wife, in the little mouse bed, which I think is usually like a sardine tin with the...
I think you'll find it's a matchbox.
A matchbox.
Opened up with
it's always a matchbox.
Yeah. Oh, you say matchbox, do you?
Oh, yeah. It's always a redhead matchbox. Yeah.
Of course it is. Now, you people, when you catch a mouse, what do you generally do with it?
We just sort of bait them and let them go off quietly and die somewhere.
You don't sort of take it to the homeowner's back doorstep and just leave it there in the hope of, you know, when he spots it, he'll give you a pat on the head.
You don't, you know, put it under the spotlight, kind of interrogated a touch, put on the music, pretend you're Mr. Blonde.
No, guys, don't quite go that far.
Now, when you're stalking a mouse, do you have to get inside the mouse's head? Do your people dress up as mice in order to really get to know the prey? Do they do that kind of thing?
No, not quite that far.
What kind of person does it take to catch a mouse?
I don't think I'd like to catch a mouse alive.
So you'd be up on the chair, holding your dress up, doing a bit of a scream. That's not good credentials for someone working at a pest control place, is it?
But I don't have to go out.
I see.
Do you think they should try and kill them, or do you think they should try and harness the mice, maybe get a big wheel happening, and perhaps maybe the energy could power the whole state? Is that a good idea?
That is a good idea.
What about this wheat? Apparently they're poisoning all the wheat.
And well, they will eat, wheat. Yeah, they eat grain.
Be careful, though, because even though it's poison, they still, you know, they like it not too heavy, not too light. It's got to be just right.
That's right.
Have you considered a Pied Piper? Maybe we could fly in, I don't know, Kenny G. And he can wander around outback Queensland,
just wielding the pipe and giving them a bit of the easy listening magic.
Well, it'd have to have the right sort of hat on.
Now, you really know what you're talking about down there, don't you?
Oh,
all about
yes,
hats
yes.
Now. And what about this for an idea? Do you think when we've got all the dead mice, you know, obviously instead of just, putting them in a sack and tossing them off a bridge, we're thinking maybe 6 or 7 of them sewn together could make a highly convincing hair replacement. What do you think?
You'd have to get on to Ashley and Martin with that one.
Who are we talking to, by the way?
My name's Janet.
Janet, do you think you've got a job for a couple of bozos full of good ideas down there at Pest Control?
Actually, we are looking for somebody.
By the way, your name's A. Aardvark Pest Control. Is there really an aardvark problem in Australia, or is this just a clever way to get first in the yellow pages?
You picked it in one. Although an aardvark does eat termites, and we do termites, so...
All right, so you employ a few aardvarks, do you?
Oh, I wish we could get hold of some.
Just give them a clipboard, send them out in the van and say go to work.
I'll say go.
Okay, thanks very much for your time today, Janet.
Okay, thanks a lot. Yeah.
Never Let Me Go, Black Sorrows on Martin Molloy, the program that means well. And, Mick, we've solved the mouse problem in Queensland. What's next?
I've got a bit of an inquiry, Tone. When are the Fumios?
I think it's tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow? Yeah. Are nominations shut?
Not yet.
Oh, good.
Have you got someone?
I think I might. Have a listen to this, Tone. Australian Institute of Sport head swimming coach Gennady Turetsky was convicted on the weekend of assaulting 4 people on a Trans-Pacific flight. He was fined about $13,000 and sentenced to 30 days jail in Honolulu. The prosecution alleged Turetsky was drunk when he disrupted the United Airlines flight from Sydney to Los Angeles, poking a fellow passenger in the eye, jumping on another passenger, shoving a flight attendant and biting the forearm of the flight's first officer. His defence blamed high blood pressure.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
thinking, you know, you would have blood spurting out your ears if you're behaving like that, don't you? That's really interesting news, I think. Can you answer me this? What is going on with Australian swimming? First, we have to put up with that nut Laurie Lawrence and all that incessant birdie dancing. Now we've placed our nation's most prized athletes in the hands of Curly from the Three Stooges. What's he teaching them down there at the Institute? Correct technique for the nipple cripple? What would inspire an outburst like that?
I don't know.
Any ideas? I mean, you know, did he think he was on an end of a year trip or... didn't like the in-flight movie, wouldn't let him see the cockpit? I just don't know. I've got an opinion, though. I've got a theory.
Yeah.
I reckon he was trying to get the attention of a flight attendant.
Oh,
it's bloody hard sometimes. It really is, you know. After a good 3 hours of pushing the attendance light for no response, that's when I think you'll find, and Tone, you'll testify to this, you start looking around the cabin at the other passengers, seeing... if there isn't anyone there, you wouldn't mind giving a good poke in the eye. You mean, some airlines now, that's the policy.
Yeah,
you know, instead of hearing that, boo, you just hear, ow! And, you know, they go, no, I'll go, it's aisle 7 again. Probably wants another packet of peanuts. He bit one of them. Which isn't as silly as it sounds if the only alternative is airline food. But look, they're going to have to change the safety demonstration to include things like applying a tourniquet. Yeah, yeah, life jacket, whistle, bugger that. Where's my dart gun?
At the Martin Molloy Genuine Kentucky Bourbon Whiskey Distilleries in Bendigo, Victoria, no one's ever in too much of a hurry. Why? Well, for one thing, all our staff are former Victorian ambulance drivers. But more importantly, they know, like their forefathers before them, that the most important ingredient in every bottle of genuine straight Kentucky bourbon is a bunch of slack old farts sitting around playing cards in front of a stack of beautifully lit old barrels. Nah, nobody's in too much of a hurry round here.
Whoop, well, Dave, I'll wait. pressure. Can we help him out?
Nah, mate. I'm not in too much of a hurry. Every bottle of Martin Malloy genuine Kentucky bourbon whiskey is aged over a period of 12 years. As a result, in the last quarter of a century, we've turned out just two bottles. And you know what? They tasted like piss. And then, while everyone was playing cards, the distillery caught fire. And because round here, no one's in too much of a hurry, the bastard burnt to the ground. And all that was left was that bloke playing that f***ing irritating banjo music. Martin Malloy, genuine Kentucky bourbon. Now available in two-stroke.
That's the police here at Martin Malloy, and this is an official wake-up call for Judith Lucy, if she's listening, because she's our guest in the next hour, and she's usually just getting out of bed about now.
Yep.
Plays it pretty hard, and so, Jude, if you're listening, get some shoes on.
Come on, wakey, wakey.
Get yourself down the station. Also on the way, Radio Gladiators, and listen to this bit of invention news, Mick.
Oh, good.
A South African inventor, Trevor Bayliss, which sounds to be like a comedy name, but no, Trev's a real bloke. He's come up with a new breakthrough, which he says will bring news and information to third world countries. It's the wind-up radio.
Really?
20 seconds of winding produces 40 minutes of listening. Oh, it's about three Genesis tracks, that, isn't it? And has been hailed as a fantastic invention by Nelson Mandela, who thinks the wind-up radio could become one of South Africa's leading exports.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. The only thing is you really do have to remember to keep winding them up or it can interfere with your listening enjoyment. This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital.
Tony Martin and Mick Malloy.
I tried unsuccessfully to launch Punch Yourself in the Nose Day. Ah. It's great fun. Look, watch. See?
Tell us what.
Goodwin Collins on Martin Malloy, where it's time to play. It's time to play. Can the producer find the recording?
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
We've just seen today's challenge. Well done.
I wish you could have seen that, folks. Oh, that's amazing.
There was a genuine Frank Spencer moment here on the program. But you know what it was? Our producer was just dazzled because he knows he's in the presence of the three-pack of CDs. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a moment because the challenge today, it's a bit of a straightforward one. We want to know your best or your most outrageous or your shonkiest excuse for turning up late for work. Now, it can be yourself, one you've used, or one that somebody else has used. And here's a beauty that I heard this week. A mate of mine didn't go to work, just had himself a day off, and then tried this out on the boss. Oh, I thought VP Day was a public holiday. And it bloody worked.
Unless, of course, his boss is listening now, but I... Well,
then he's going to bug it, isn't he?
Yeah. Here's try this one. Sorry, I was having sex with aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Because that works. Cause
does it?
It did, yeah. You'd be surprised. Not many people inquire beyond that point.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I got poked in the eye by the head of the Australian swimming team.
I was the victim of the Queensland mouse plague, something like that. I know a bloke who actually did this, and I've heard this one before, and he actually tried it out himself. He just stripped down to his underpants, rolled about in the dirt, and then just claimed he was beaten up on the way to work.
Oh, we've all done that, haven't we? How many times have I stopped my car out the front of the work, lifted the bonnet just to get the hands all greasy, and then wandered in going, oh, you'll never guess what happened.
Well, this is the kind of thing we're looking for, and it can be one you've done yourself or one you've just heard about or a mate's done. Something like that in the prize as well. The three-pack of CDs. Once again, let's just remind you how this three-pack has got the country talking.
Here's what Australia is saying about the fabulous three-pack of CDs.
We're going to get on down now.
It's great. There's CDs and there's three of them.
Some shows give you two and like some give you four, but a three-pack is just fantastic. Well done, Martin Malloy.
just couldn't believe it. Three CDs, all in the one pack. It just blew me away.
Thanks, Martin Malloy. I can honestly say, the three pack of CDs, it saved my marriage.
Silverchair! Silverchair! Oh, sorry, I think I'm in the wrong promo.
The three pack of CDs.
Not one, not two.
But three CDs in the one pack.
One pack.
The three pack. Only on Radio Gladiators. Accept no imitations.
Apparently today at the station, they had a bit of a meeting of the program directors. Oh, it's sandwiches are brought in. It's a pretty serious business. Apparently one of them's called Mott.
You reckon they're taking the piss?
No.
How dare they even suggest?
It's the three-pack of CDs, and it's $200 cash. Call now with your late-for-work excuses. 1-800-657-657. That's Party by Christine Arnoux. It's Radio Gladiators time on Martin Malloy. Today, the challenge we're looking for were good, bad, or just plain shonky excuses for being late for work. Who have you got for us, Mickey?
I've got Ken on the line. G'day, Ken.
Oh, hi, how you going?
Good, mate. What have you done? What was your excuse?
Me? Oh, well, I was on the way and my muffler fell off. So we got underneath to actually boot it back on again with a hammer, and the hammer slipped and hit me in the eye.
Oh!
That's a big lump under the eye.
Right. And did you actually go to the trouble of hitting yourself in the head with the hammer?
Yeah, something like that. Well, we got first aid officer there, and he sort of looked at me, and I don't think he believed me too well, but it happened.
You don't like your job very much, do you? You go around tonking yourself in the head with a hammer.
Well, I didn't do it on purpose.
Oh, so it was an accident.
Yeah.
It wasn't. You didn't plan it. You didn't, nut it out the night before.
See, that's the difference, Tone. You come in every day with bruises, and I'm just not buying. I'm going, no, Tony, no.
Okay, well, that's not a bad one, Ken. Have we got Anita there? Anita?
Yep, hi.
What was your excuse for late for work?
My cat saw my leg and it was love at first sight.
Oh, really? The cat saw the leg and just went it, did it? It just decided...
Yeah, he's a very excitable pussy.
Ah.
Was it the left leg or the right leg?
The right leg. He seems to favour that one.
Yeah, he's a bit of a right leg man.
Yeah.
That cat.
But did this prevent you from going to work? I mean, you could have still shown up, with cat attached.
Nah, pulled him off, put him inside, slammed the door and raced out the door.
Oh, okay. I don't know about that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it sounds like a tall story.
Yeah.
But a beauty.
Have we got Matthew there? Matthew, what's your story?
When that Chinese guy predicted the world was going to end, I believed him, so it didn't go in.
Yeah, because end of the world usually is a day off situation, I think.
Well, at least be a flexi day.
Yeah, well, when I woke up and I was still alive, I thought I'd better rock in.
Right. And when you woke up and found that the world hadn't ended, were you furious?
Oh, yeah, I was pretty cheesed off. Take the word of a guy like that. I mean, he looks pretty honest, but what can you do?
Oh, I'd sue him. I'd take him to court.
Oh, I didn't know where he was.
Good luck to you, Matthew. Have we got Joe there? What's your plausible excuse for being late? Joe?
Oh, yeah. I got abducted by aliens.
Oh, so you've tried the alien route. Did this work? Did it cut any ice with the boss?
Well, I don't actually work, so I just thought it'd be a good excuse because I got through.
Yeah, you haven't worked since the alien excuse.
Oh, no, he's trying to get through. It's the three-pack. It's got you just making stuff up. Is that right, Joe?
Yep.
Hang on, you don't have a job, and you've rang us up with an excuse why you don't have to work.
Jeez, I'm only 15.
Give him a break, Mick. He's dazzled by those three CDs.
He's got about three years up his sleeve, and he's already sitting at home carving out the excuses.
He's just making stuff up. I think there's a place for you in the Liberal Party cabinet, and I wish we had a drum symbol for that.
But a major contribution to the workforce you are going to be, Joe. I look forward to following you with keen interest.
Have we got one more, Mickey?
Yeah, we've got Leona on the line. G'day, Leona.
Hi.
Okay, and now hit us with it.
Well, it's actually a tutorial. This friend was late for a tutorial at university and he had to present a paper. Mm. And the paper was on sexual deviancy and cross-dressing and stuff like that.
Mm.
And he hadn't done it, so he just dressed up in a suit and tie and, got really dressed up and came in with his resume and said, "Oh, look, I'm so sorry, I'm late." He rushed in, he went, "I was going to present this paper, but I've been to a job interview and I've accidentally left my sexual deviancy paper at the job interview and I've got my resume with me." So he actually stood up and sort of ad-libbed and says, "Oh, look, I'll have to ad-lib, see if I can remember it." And he stood up and he tried to give this paper on sexual deviancy. And everybody was so horrified at the idea. Everybody was so horrified at the idea that he'd left this sexual deviancy report at the job interview that they got him off with it, and apparently he passed.
And it was all a scam, wasn't it?
Completely.
Oh, he's gone to a lot of trouble.
And tell us, Leona, is he there beside you?
Oh, no, he's a friend of mine from Canberra.
Oh, good. And so he never actually wrote that paper on sexual deviancy?
No, he didn't.
And how did he go? Did he get a pass?
Well, he got a pass in that unit, but he ended up changing courses.
Okay. There's a joke in there somewhere.
Oh,
I think that's our winner today. Yes, Leona, for your elaborate story, you've won the 3-pack of CDs.
Thanks.
And by the way, what sort of degree do you get for, you know, studying sexual deviancy?
Well, nursing from memory, but he flunked out of nursing and he changed courses.
And what's he doing now?
Starring in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
I'm not sure what he's doing now. He flunked out of nursing. He actually, honestly, I'm not joking, he fell asleep next to a patient's bed, and when they came around to check up on him, he was fast asleep with his legs up on the patient's bed.
What was his excuse on that occasion?
I don't know. I don't think he had one.
Okay, right. Leona, thanks. I'm afraid our producer's staying the nod off, so we've got to wind things up. Back, and of course, you've got the $200 as well.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for playing Radio Gladiators. We'll play it again tomorrow, and stick around, people, after the news. Judith Lucy. It's time to welcome somebody who we just can't get rid of her.
Absolutely not.
We can't shake her off, which, well, doesn't mind. We don't mind that, because we're always interested to see what's on her mind. It's Judith Lucy. Did anything funny happen on the way here? I just thought I'd throw that at you.
You know, my life is comedy, so things just happen to me all the time. And yes, a funny thing did happen to me on the way to the station, Tony. I was walking past one of those bridal stores, and you know how embarrassing wedding photos are at the best of times? Actually saw a photo of a bride on some steps, surrounded by 6 people in panda bear outfits. Now, sure, it's a dilemma. God knows whenever I get a formal invitation, it says black and whites only. I think, well, do I wear my full-length Christian Dior black frock or slip into the panda bear outfit? But, I don't know what was going on there.
You just happened to be passing this bridal shop. You weren't in there browsing, Jude.
Okay, I was looking at a few dresses, humming a few songs and thinking of you, Mick.
You're a cheeky one.
Hey, guys, not yet.
Right,
save later. That kind of stuff for later in the show.
Can't help it, Tone. Something happens.
There's a chemistry.
Now,
sit back.
What about your neighbours? Because usually when you come in, I don't know what it is about your personality, but you seem to rub your neighbours up the wrong way. Am I right?
I think you are right. Now, I have talked about Betty in the past. She does live below us. Mm. She's no spring chicken, I will say that. And relations have deteriorated even more. This is a true story. I was walking down our steps yesterday. Betty has flung her front door open and has gone, "I just want you to know that I think you two are animals," and slammed the door. Now, sure, I have dug up her veggie patch a couple of times and urinated on her front door occasionally, but, you know, I think she's overreacting.
What does she mean by "you two"? Was someone else with you?
Or no, I live with a friend, and she just said the two of you are animals.
The two of you are animals, and she had nothing to base this on.
No, nothing. Didn't say a thing. Just said that, and just slammed the door. I mean, I know I am the Bon Scott of comedy, but I've got no idea what she was referring to.
I tell you what you want to do, Jude. You just want to find one of these dead mice that are all over the country at the moment. Just leave it on the front doorstep as a bit of a prezzy.
That's just what I need to improve relations, I think. I really don't. I mean, you know, she has been known to complain about us flushing the toilet after midnight.
Well, hang on a second. She's probably got a point. You got running around the house? What time did you say? After midnight?
Midnight, okay.
Well, I'm starting to take Betty's side. That's just madness. Well,
couldn't you wait till the morning,
no,
Judith?
Couldn't you wait? And she's complained about us walking in the kitchen as well. So I suppose
Your own kitchen.
In our kitchen, yes. So I suppose when we threw the telly out the window, it just tore things to Betty.
That was it. She was writing letters to the editor of the local paper.
Well, but she is actually selling her flat and she's not getting a buyer, and I think that's the problem. Because on the sign outside, the you know you're in trouble when the only thing you can say about your flat is clean as a whistle. That's the selling point.
And it's got the neighbours, it's got a description on the ad, neighbours, it's just kitchen walking animals.
Brawr.
You should pop down and put in a couple of bids, Jude. I mean, that's the way to go.
Kitchen walking, toilet flushing animals. Don't move in here.
Look at you. Look at you.
Oh, well, Jude, I see you've brought a book in with you.
I sure have.
And we'll get to that in just a moment on Martin Malloy. The idea. You're addicted to love, Robert Palmer, and this is Martin Malloy. Judith Lucy's with us, and Jude, you're a bit of a bookworm. Whenever you come in, you seem to have a new book to tell us about.
I've got something very special today, Tone. Of course, I had the old Catholic upbringing, so this one did particularly catch my eye.
Mm.
Personal Prayers for Young Teens.
Okay.
It's got some very pertinent topics. We've got prayers called Sucked In by Swearing and Stupid Drugs. But one that particularly caught my eye was Hair Is In. Dear God, please help me to look good. I know you want me to be less concerned with the outside and more with the inside, but right now, God, I do need some help with my hair. What can I do? Show me, Lord. Now, I'm sorry, but when I was a child, we thanked God if we had hair. We thanked God if we had a head to put hair on.
Absolutely.
I think our Lord Jesus Christ has got better things to do than to just zap Vidal Sassoon into some oily teenager's bedroom for a quick cut and condition. And I think all you've got to do is look at a few pictures of Jesus Christ to realize he wasn't very concerned with his hair. My God, his whole life was a bad hair day. But, you know, it's not all. It's not all in that vein. There are some helpful ones. Oh, this is very pertinent for this station. Music's magic. Thank you, Lord, for music, for its pleasure and entertainment, for all music from rock to classics, and I know you play them all here. Help me to enjoy it, except for when Satan takes control of the music or the musicians and forces them to sing such lyrics as, "Once upon a time there was light in my life, now there's only love in the dark, nothing I can say, total eclipse of the heart."
Hang on a sec, we play that one right here.
That just sounds like you're back announcing songs, Jude.
Are you telling us, Jude, that our program is in the grip of Satan? I know we play a lot of Phil Collins, but I'm not buying it.
Well, I think I could be saying that. I'm certain that, you know, I think you could be doing a few prayers yourself.
That's a really good prayer, that one, but I think what we need to do is give it to one of the DJs here and we can put a on the front of it and get them to read it out and turn it into a promo.
We've got another one here about, we've got Growing Up Is So Slow. We've got, Sucked In by Swearing, of course. We've got things like, In My Weakness, I Really Got Caught Up in All the Excitement of the Moment and started saying things like, you know, fudge, sugar, gosh and golly. I did actually, here we go, Growing Up. It looked simple enough on TV, and when my folks used it too. Shake the can like mad, lift up your arm and squirt. But the first time I tried it, I missed my underarm completely and zonked the mirror. The next time, it was the side of my face. But when I finally got the hang of it, it felt really good. Dear Lord, please help me to realize that if that kind of lack of physical coordination continues, it's going to take more than just a few prayers to stop me being such a thundering moron. So, something for everyone in here, I think you'll agree.
And that's, what's it called again?
Personal Prayers for Young Teens.
It's available now.
That's an amazing read.
It looks like a pretty flimsy prayer book, though. I mean, there's a paperback and there's about 12 pages.
It's not quantity, Mick. It's quality, especially when it comes to our Lord. And may I say, you'd be the first I'd pass this book on to, young man.
Well, we've got to go and play some more of that satanic music that we just love so much.
Well, then I'm
program.
Out of here.
And obviously, Mick, you'd like to obviously get the book and take it away and photocopy Sucked In by Swearing.
Absolutely.
I think Stupid Drugs could be more up your
your alley.
I'm going straight for the hair one.
Okay, well, Jude, thanks for coming in and setting the young folks straight.
Mm. Oh, whenever I can.
Jude, you're a good egg.
Thanks, Mick.
And you
God
just,
bless you all.
You just get home to your flat and just flush that toilet like mad.
Oh, I will, and I'm going to do some walking too. There's no stopping me.
Okay, we've been talking to Judith Lucy. I'm Martin Malloy.
Hey guys, are you lonely? Tired of sitting through a whole hour of dangerous curves just hoping for a glimpse of tit? Then why not call the Martin Malloy Fantasy Line? I know this photo makes me look like a bit of a bogan chick in lingerie, but hey, losers can't be choosers. Call now and let me realize your wildest fantasy.
Hi. You've reached the Martin Malloy Fantasy Line.
$24.95 per 30 seconds.
And now sit back and enjoy the ride as I take you on a journey into pure fantasy. You are not a sad, pathetic loser. You do have a girlfriend. There is more to your life than Star Trek and the internet. I do look like one of those girls from the stock footage in the commercial. This is not a degrading experience for both of us. This won't show up on your credit card bill and cause the tellers to start sniggering whenever you visit the bank.
So call the Martin Malloy Fantasy Line now and be assured no embarrassing entries on your credit card statement. We simply park one of those giant mobile billboards reading, Loser Lives Here Outside Your House.
You're going to be careful. See, what I was watching TV before it was the news, and they said, the newsreader said, after the break, Nelson Mandela goes where no black man has gone before. And I was thinking, where would that be? And the only thing I could come up with was into a kilt shop. That was the best. So I don't know, where else? Arthur Tunstall's place?
Absolutely,
yeah.
That's where
or,
I'm thinking.
Maybe the set of Home and Away. That would work. But time for us to go. Thanks to our guests today, Judith Lucy and Janet at Aardvark Pest Control. Also, all our radio gladiators. And tomorrow, we'll wind up the week with Steve Bedwell. Until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with half-baked ideas and ill-conceived concepts. Proprietary of Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.